All right. We're moving nice, like along so nicely. So now we're up to Ice Dalid, and okay, we'll see what happens. All right, so Torah Yud Beis, Ice Dalid, right? That's what we're up to. Okay, so until now, so basically we saw this model that Rav Nachman was telling us about how Torah is able to sort of descend in two different ways. The Torah of a Tana of an Amora, you know, the original thought of the tzaddik is able to descend into the minds of people that learn it properly in order for everyone to gain, right? The person that learns it gains because they're learning something amazing. They're connecting to the Rabbanu Shalom through the Torah. That goes without saying. But even the original, the Torah that's being learned by that person and the Torah, and the tzaddik whose Torah that is also gains by being learned by other people. Because then what happens is, as we saw earlier, is that now the Torah of the tzaddik and the tzaddik himself who's connected to his Torah gains like a chiddush, gains a chiddush, because it's like Yisrei coming to Har Sinai, and the Zohar said that it's like mamish such a chiddush for a Yisrei to come and to be connected. So and that created an awakening from above that created even more shefa and more bracha resulting in Matan Torah. So whenever there is his chiddush, whenever there's something that's the last thing you would expect to be connected is all of a sudden connected, like a Yisrei, that creates an unbelievable awakening from above, and more Ashbay. So the Torah that, you know, Abai and Rava, you know, or Bekiva, you know, the Tana, that says, now if even a regular shmo like me learns it and connects to it, then what do I bring to the table? What am I giving to Abai and Rava that they don't have already? The answer is a Chiddush. That their Torah is able to be, that even such a low person is able that wants to connect to it and is able to connect to it, that shows another layer, another side of Abai and Rava's Torah, for example, that otherwise wouldn't be revealed. And that creates a huge chiddush and so on. So that's when Torah descends in a good way to people that are learning it properly for the right reasons, like a Yisrei and so on. But then there was another phenomenon which we saw, which was the Torah descending and being learned by people that are more lovendik, right? More like a loven, that someone's trying to manipulate it and coming from a negative place. And so then the Torah becomes sort of lost in that exile. So we spoke about this last time. That was the last piece. So we saw why, what are the mechanics of how that would happen, why Hashem would allow such a phenomenon. So that's what we spoke about. That's what we saw last time in Ice Gimel, that there's Torah has to bring bracha to the world, even begashmis. Right, and so there has to be an element of Torah that Arich Yam B'Yamina, which is more Ruchnius brachas, and Ubesmaila Asher V'Kavet. It has to also bring Gashmius Dika brachas, and the way the Torah brings Gashmius Dika brachas is by having sort of a left side to it, that which is not 100% pure. And so when the Torah comes down and goes to the Lavan and is, you know, taken by that person, it has a positive side effect to a certain degree of it bringing brachas in a gashmistic way, although the Torah itself is engulfed by that person. So that's what we're up to right now, where the Torah now has to be redeemed. It has to be taken back to the side of Kedusha. Somehow it has to be extracted from the world of love and from that person. So how does that happen? So that's what we're up to right now. So the last thing he just mentioned quickly in passing is this phenomenon of the Lavan type, whatever, I guess you can call it like the anti-Talmud Chacham, you know, that this is how the Torah really started, is that this person speaks negatively against Tzaddikim. That's how, in the beginning of the Torah, that's how it started. Mash'anu Rayim, that's what he's coming to explain. If you go back to the beginning, you'll see, Mash'anu Rayim, that which we see, Shal Pi Aroiv, Halaimdim Cholkim Al Tzaddikim, those people that are Laimdim. Again, over here, it's like in quotations, you know, people that are learning, but not like the Lavan, the, you know, sophisticated, you know, just to gain the upper hand and so on, that they usually, you know, go against and fight against Tzaddikim. But Doivrin Al Tzaddik, Osak, Begai Vavavos, and they speak with haughtiness, and disparaging way against the tzaddik. So that's what this Torah is coming to explain. So now we can begin to understand what that phenomenon is. So let's see by Eis Dalet. It's a hard piece over here. So as we go through it, not every piece of it is going to be so understood. So you have to give him time to go back and explain it. But we'll do the best we can. So there's going to be some like lines over here that are hard to understand. V'da, so you should know. Shezem mechuvim meis Hashem yisbarach. That's what we were saying the last sentence before was also this idea of the lamdan, I guess we'll call it. Again, lamdan, you know, it's a word that's used now in a positive way, but the lovin, I guess we'll call it. The lovin speaking against the tzaddik. So he says, Shezem mechuvim meis Hashem yisbarach. There's a kavana for this. It doesn't mean, it's like, you know, it's like anything else. It doesn't allow the lovins to get off the hook. They still, you know, it's like by Golas Mitzrayim, right? Hashem, there was a decree that the Jews be able to be in Golas, but didn't have to be with Paro, didn't have to be with Mitzrayim, so they still have to, Mitzrayim still have to deal with that. So it's the same thing over here. There's an intention, there's a reason why it's needed for the lovin to speak against the tzaddik, although, you know, he shouldn't have put himself in that position to begin with. He says, what's the idea? So he says like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mapil Eze Tzadeh Gadol B'Piv Shel Alamden. So the Rebbeinu Shalom, basically what it means is that Hashem takes a big tzadeh and puts it in the mouth of the Lovin type, right? So the Lovin type talks about the tzadeh. Hainu, HaLamden Dover Roy Shel Tzadeh. In other words, that the Lamden over here, the Lovin, speaks negatively about the tzadeh. Why? In order for the tzaddik to be able to extract from, we'll see in a second, from the mouth of Lavan, the Torah Shabal Peh, Hainu Ashchina, Mihagolos Shabal Lamden. Again, remember, the Torah, which is the Shechina, which is Hashem's presence in the world, is in Golos, in the mouth of the Lavan type. And so the tzaddik, again, not a Bayin Rava, but a contemporary tzaddik, the tzaddik has to come and somehow get it out of Golas. And the way that works is that he has to find himself in the same place that the Torah is in Golas in. Right? In order to get the Torah out of Golas, you have to go to the place of Golas. What's the place of Golas? The mouth of Lavan. So the tzaddik also has to be in the mouth of Lavan. Umala isa l'sharsha. And from there, the tzaddik is able to raise the Torah back to its root, where it's supposed to go. Madrega l'madrega, from step to step. And now he begins to talk about the different steps that the Torah has to go through in order to, you sort of return to where it comes from in holiness. Now this is where it gets a little bit hard, but he describes it using a language that we find in the writings of the Arizal. Is that, I mean, the Gemara is also talking about this as well, that there's three parts to any, again, I speak Balash and Nikia the way of Chazal. There's three parts to any yichud, any connection. So there's chibuk, nishuk, and zivuk. Chibuk means to hug. Nishuk is with the mouth, right? And zivuk is zivuk. So he, in the Kabbalah Svarim, these ideas are talked about. How you have, these are three different steps in terms of something being connected and sort of returning to its source. So he's using that as a mashal also. That's where, again, that's what's becoming a little bit, you know, esoteric right now in this piece. But we'll do the best we can. So he says, and it's returned to its source from madrega to madrega. First, the Torah goes to, sort of station out of Golas, or the beginning of out of Golas, is returning to Hashem, returning to the original tzaddik Abayin Rav in the way that it's supposed to be, in what's called chibuk. Okay, the achar kach lebechinas nishuk, and then it's with nishuk, the achar kach lebechinas zivuk. Okay, so what does this mean? K'meshakoso. So it says in Shir Shir, mani chavet zelos hasharon. So So, ani v'chatzelas hasharon. That's a pasuk. Most shir shirim is a description of, like, the Torah talking, Knesset Yisrael talking, the Kala. So chavetzelas hasharon. So the Gemara, the Chazal already darshan, He quotes from the Zohar Kaddish. Betchil hi yiroikik v'chatzelas. That in the beginning of sort of the kala, getting ready for the chasen, so to speak, she's described as chavetzelas hasharon, which is yiroikik v'chatzelas, like greenish. Now that reminds us of Esther, which is bashkacha pratis. So he says k'maisha amru, like the Gemara says in Megillah, Esther yirak roikisai, so that Esther had a greenish. Greenish color. Now, what does green have to do with anything? So, he's going to reference this later on. Again, it's hard to explain. This is not the main point over here, but there's a sefer that we have from Rav Moshe Kardavero, the Ramak, Paradis Yirmayim. So, in Paradis Yirmayim, one of the chapters over there is called Shahar Gavanim, the chapter of colors. So, there's such an idea from the Zohar Kaddish that each color corresponds to a different midah, a different aspect of Avodas Hashem, a different. So the color green is related to the heart. It's related to the heart, that place, the Torah, Tiferes, of that place. So Chibuk, which is to embrace, is you use your hands, but you're embracing someone to connect, like to your heart. It's an expression of love like that. So that's why we'll see soon. It's related to the color green over here. So that's why he's. That's why he's bringing that up over here. So that first stage of chibuk, again, I don't know what this means. We're just going through the words right now. So this matrega of chibuk is related to this pasuk of ani chavetzel sasharayin, which sort of describes Klal Yisrael as this yiroike kevachatzelas, like greenish, like chavetzelas, like a certain type of how do you translate chavetzelas? Yeah, like some sort of plant thing, whatever. I guess you could Google it, translate it. Chavetzelas k'meisha amru. So as Chazal say, Esther yirak roikis haisa. That Esther had this greenish tinge. V'zebachinas chibuk, and that's called madrig of hugging. V'yamina tichabkeni, right? Like the pasuk says that Hashem embraces me with His right hand. So what does this mean in Avodah? Like what does this translate as? Like what does this mean? So he says, Ki Hasimcha ba Malev. So this is where he begins to translate it more practically. It means the beginning of taking the Torah out of Golas, right? The beginning of returning the Torah to where it's supposed to be in Kedusha is to learn Torah b'simcha. Ki Hasimcha b'lev, because simcha is related to the heart. K'may shekasav nesata simcha b'libi. Okay? V'halev, another V'halev u'bina. We know the lev is connected to bina. Bina liba, the Zohar says. Shasham yayin hamesameach. These are a lot of connections that he's, shasham yayin hamesameach. We know that bina is also related to wine that gives simcha. Shu'al mestima, which is, the Zohar talks about yayin as sort of allowing a person entrance into a hidden world. B'chinas yayin yisamach levav enosh, right? That wine brings simcha to the heart. So this is all what's being described over here. So this madrig of chibuk, which is related to the torso, to the heart, with twice related to the color green, which was how Esther Malka began her sort of entrance into the world of Achashverosh, which is the world of the king, right? She enters as Yirak Roikis, as greenish. So that's related to the heart, which is the place of Teferis, the torso, which is what hugging is about. Again, hugging in the Svarim HaKadoshim, hugging means to connect the heart to the heart. That's what hugging is, right? So that's the idea. So you connect heart to the heart, which is again related to this color green, which is related to wine. Yayin yisamach levav enosh. Yayin brings simcha to the heart, and the ikar nekuda is that it should be besimcha. So that's what. So that's the first sort of key to redeem Torah to be learned properly is that it should be learned with simcha. That's yeah. In that tefillah over there, just over here. I don't know. Telling you the truth, I don't know. I could start making things up and say fancy words, but I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. So, but again, that's that, at least practically, that's what he's saying, that the first step is that Torah should be learned b'simcha. When Torah is the love in person, the love in personality that learns Torah, he's not truly learning Torah b'simcha. Even though the person might feel happy in gaining knowledge, because then they can use it to manipulate and to outsmart and so on. That's not real simcha. Simcha is the one of the indicators of real simcha is if it bonds people together, if it brings people closer, right? If it distances people from each other, then that's not real simcha. The person might be smiling, but that's not real simcha. So real simcha means connecting. So the Torah that this Lavan is learning is not simchadik, because it's not bonding him with other people. It's not bringing Avas Yisrael. It's quite the opposite. It's creating a distance. So with the tzaddik who finds himself in exile in the mouth of Lavan, what he first has to do, again, I'm not saying that this is conscious of the tzaddik, but this is somehow the Torah, the very fact that the tzaddik is found in the mouth of Lavan, somehow metaphysically allows the neshama of the tzaddik to sort of recapture those Torahs. And then on his own, he'll be able to be zaycha to Torahs that otherwise he wouldn't have access to, because really it went to Lavan. But somehow he now has access to it, and his avaid is to learn it b'simcha in a real way with Avas Yisrael and trying to connect Hashem and connect to other Yidden through that. And that's called learning Torah. That's called bringing the Torah to Madreg of Chibuk, bringing the Torah to Madreg of hugging, where it's bonding. Where the heart becomes enlivened. That's what we say in davening, right? In Avasoilam, Avarabba, that bracha before Shema. So when we daven to Hashem for Siyat Shema and learning, it's interesting. We don't daven that we should be zaycha to have a good head in learning, even though you need that. So, but that's not the bracha. The tefillah is that we ask that we have the same b'lebeinu bina l'havin l'haskel, that our hearts should be able to understand. So what does it mean? Your heart, your moyach, your seichel. The answer is, yeah, of course, your moyach and the seichel, for sure. But the real beginning of the Torah moving into taking on a form of attachment with Hashem is chibuk. That's the beginning, which is the heart becoming enlivened and it being learned b'simcha with tveikus and attachment with avas Hashem and avas Yisrael. So that's the first madrig of chibuk. But tzaddik shenoyf l'toich pe'alamden. So that's what. So there's. It's a little bit on to the side, but there's when we say bina, there's two sides to bina. There's bina in the seichel corresponding to chachma, but then there's also bina salev. So when we say v'sein b'lebeinu bina, it's referring to a certain bina salev. So it's a different type of bina. That's why in this farm it could get confusing when you see the term bina. Where it's talking about, but v'ir means bina of the heart. Bina liba, it's a different type of bina, or it's a different aspect of bina. So he says, "Vatzadik shenoyf l'toich pe'al lamden." So the tzaddik that falls, so to speak, into the mouth of the lamden, shalam doimer olav asak. And how does the tzaddik fall into the mouth of the lamden? Because the lamden, so to speak, the lovan is speaking negatively, disparagingly against the tzaddik. V'umevin she'elu hadvarim shalam din darfus. So now that's an amazing thing. Now Rav Nachman turns to the tzaddik and tells him, okay, what's your advice? So how are you supposed to relate to this? So he says, V'umevin, the tzaddik understands, She'elu advarim shalam din daiver olav. It's an amazing thing. The words that the Lavan speaks negatively against the tzaddik, heim tzirufim mi'oisis shebetar shebal peh. Those bets and those words, which are made of letters, obviously, those letters are, if remanipulated, are the words of Torah shebal peh that the tzaddik is being tasked to uplift. Again, we know that, I mean, you know, let's say for a second the easier model, which is, let's say everyone's speaking Hebrew, right? So let's say, right? So Lovin's talking, negatively against the tzaddik, but in Lashon Kodesh. Okay, so he's saying Lashon Kodesh. So these letters, every letter in Lashon Kodesh can be, it's not, don't just think of it as like a, what do they call it, the puzzles with the letters, cross, like that type of thing, a crossword puzzle. It's more than that. Every letter in Aleph Beis is made of other letters, right? Aleph is Yud Vav Yud, right? A Hey could be a Dalet and a Yud, a Resh and a Vav. Right? Kuf can be a Resh and a Nun or a Zayin. There's all different ways. So when we talk about, so if you say a word, those, you just put out letters, and those letters can be any words. So the tzaddik, so the lovin that says words against the tzaddik, that's the Torah contained in there, is the Torah that the tzaddik is being tasked to uplift. And when the tzaddik receives it properly, that's his job. Then he uplifts the Torah and he takes it out of Golis, step by step. Again, first Chibuk, which means with Simcha, and Avos Hashem, and Avos Yisrael, and then the next Madrig of Nishuk and Zivug, as we'll see soon. But that's the idea. So that's when he's saying Hebrew, right? If he's not saying Hebrew. So the truth is, all languages, ultimately, first of all, you could always, it's like also by Purim, like the Gemara talks about the Mishnais, Maseches Megillah talk about, you know, a Megillah that's written with Hebrew letters, right? But when you read it, it's English, right? So it's like, there's a word for that, maybe. Transliterated, right? Phonetics? Phonetically, yeah. So you can you're reading it in English, but the words are so just because you're you hear English doesn't mean that what's being said is English alphabet coming out of the person's mouth. Once we're talking about things that you can't see, right? So it's alphabet coming out of the person's mouth that's heard as English, right? The Rishonim already said there's a sefer we have drushes of Rabbi Shua ibn Shuib. So he's one of the Talmidim, the Rashba. So it's one of the drushes over there that he writes this idea. The Gemara says that the word Taitafis. So the Gemara says, what does Taitafis mean? So Tat Bekaspi Shnayim, Pas Beafriki Shnayim. In different dialects, Tat in some foreign language means two. Pas in some other foreign language also means two. So two and two is four. That's four batim. What does that mean? So there even should write such a thing, that the truth is, in the beginning, everyone was saying Lashon Kodesh, right? Until the Dar HaMav, until the Dar HaFlaga. And then other languages emerged, right? So he says, what other languages? Other languages emerged from Lashon Kodesh. Emerged from Lashon Kodesh. So he says, so you could have some other words in some other dialect that's from Lashon Kodesh, because that's where it all came from. That's where it all came from. So yeah, every language that a person says ultimately traces its roots back to Lashon Kodesh anyway. So when the words of Lavan are said against the tzaddik, that is not. It's again, it's painful. The tzaddik is going through whatever, but it's the words of Torah that are finally being released from the mouth of Lavan, and the tzaddik is going to be able to repurpose that and bring it to a proper place. And as we'll see later on. And ultimately, it's productive. Not only is it productive, like we saw last week, because ultimately, when the Torah sort of allows its left side to emerge through Lavan, it brings Oysher V'Kavod to the world. But even in this process now, of that Torah then being sort of repurposed in a good way by the Tzaddik, so now the Aruch Yom V'Yamina side of Torah, and the Ruchnias, and the Bracha, and the Dveikus and Hashem, that this Torah had the ability to do, is now also being accomplished. And whether the Lavan realizes it or not, he's also becoming a Yisrael, right? Maybe not on his own. He's, you know, kicking and screaming, being schlepped there. But Lamaisa, once that's the Torah that sort of was connected to him, now is being repurposed by the Tzaddik, so it also creates a Chiddush. It also creates a Chiddush. So it ultimately is productive. That's what he's saying over here. So he says, again, then the tzaddik that falls into the mouth of the lamdan, that the lamdan speaks negatively about him, and so on. So the tzaddik understands. That's where we're up to, right? The tzaddik understands that these words that the lamdan speaks about him, they themselves are different combinations of letters, which is the Torah Shebal Peh. That is found in Golis by the Lavan. Umeivin me'eza halachas nasa dibur me'elu. So again, you know, if the person is a very big tzaddik, then maybe consciously. And if not, then at least subconsciously, the tzaddik will understand what halachas these words are coming from. Umakabaloisem besimcha b'ahava, and he'll receive it with simcha and ahava again, like chibuk. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, and I love him, ve'inam ilvim, right? The Gemara says, v'ayavav kitzeis Hashem shivugurase, right? Those that love v'ayavav, those that are friends and love Hashem, so kitzeis Hashem they're as strong as the emerging sun, kitzeis Hashem shivugurase, or the setting sun, like the very strong. So the Gemara says what that means is hanalovim ve'inam ilvim, those that are disgraced but they don't respond, and so on. Smechem biyisurim, they're happy with suffering. Va'isim mi'ahava, and they keep up, they do avodas this Hashem with love. So they're described as kitzei Hashemish v'gvurasa. So he says v'ahava, the love that the pasuk is talking about, shatzadik mekabel secherba b'ahava, this love that the tzaddik, so that's what he's saying, that the love that the tzaddik receives the disgrace with, zebachinis chibuk. That's not just like a good way for the tzaddik to handle things. That itself is the beginning of the tikkun, right? V'yamina techavkeni. Sorry. So that's, I think, again, that's the beginning of the Torah's redemption, is for it to be turned. Again, let's understand the model over here. When the Torah is learned properly, then it becomes a form of attachment. It becomes a form of, it is a form of chibuk, nishuk, and zibuk. As opposed to when it's learned by the lavan, it just becomes information at best. And at worst, it becomes a tool to destroy. But when Torah is learned properly, it becomes an experience of dveikus. It becomes an experience of yichud. It's only a matter of time. Yeah, same, but it's in Golas. That's what we spoke about, that right? I can't remember what the context was, but we said this, that even when the Torah is in Golas, the Torah's not Mekabel Tumah, is right? So it itself, that's what we're going to see. It's Pilate's thing. But in terms of it being able to be revealed and manifest, that the tzaddik has to sort of repurpose it. But that it becomes, so the first experience of the tzaddik sort of handling the bizyonis of lavan in a way of ahava and simcha, that itself is not just, again, the best way for him to handle things. Adarabba, that's the beginning of the redemption of the Torah, which the words that are being said are the words of Torah. And him receiving them, bi'ahava, means him realigning those words of Torah to become a reality of chibuk with Hashem. That's what's happening. So that's the beginning of its own redemption. So he says again, v'yahava she tzaddik mekabel secher b'yahava, this love that we're talking about, the tzaddik receiving the bizyonis with love, zebachinis chibuk. That itself is the embrace. That's the hug. V'yamina techavkeni. V'ayidei hasimcha she sameich b'yisurin. So and then through the simcha that he's happy with this inyan, so then he's able to raise it to this madriga that we said of chavetzel sasharon, the bechinas lev, which is the heart, nasata simcha believi, as he said before, va'oz bechinas tzur levavi, and then the Torah can now take the form of what's called tzur levavi, the rock of my heart, shebechinas torah shebal peh hanikra tzur. And the Torah, which also is called a tzur, can move a bit tikkunim, like the Zohar says, that the mother lahika Moshe Rabbeinu al v'shalom es tzur lahay tzrichim letrech kol kach b'torah shbal peh. The Zohar says that if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the tzur, the rock, then if he spoke to the rock, then we wouldn't have to work so hard with torah shbal peh. So what is the Zohar saying over there? It's connecting tzur with torah shbal peh. So now when it says tzur levavi, right? So he's saying is that the first stage of Torah is that Torah becomes levavi. Torah becomes an expression of ahava, an expression of love, which is chibuk. And again, that's what the tzaddik is doing by receiving the words of lavan with ahava. He's turning the words of Torah, which are the words that lavan is saying, he's turning it into levavi. He's turning it into an experience of love. And that's chibuk. So he says, v'zebechinas v'yarek is chanichav. This is also connected to the pasuk, right? When Avram wages war against the four kings, right? So it says v'yargis chanichav. It's like he prepared his young men, right? That's what the pasuk means. So he says she'avram hu b'chinas yamin. If you think about it, that whole war, Chazal saying the Medrash, why did the four kings go to war b'chlal against the five kings? Why did it even start? So Chazal say the only reason why it started is because they wanted to capture Avram. Because they knew that if they fight against the five kings and they capture Lot, Avram Avinu is going to come after Lot, and Betzim, they want to get Avram. And the Medrash says, and even if Avram for some reason doesn't go back, doesn't come and rescue Lot, Chazal say that Lot and Avram look the same. So at least they'll you know, in those days it was, you know, you could get away with things. There was no, so we'll say that we have Avram. Right? So the whole thing was the Hisnagdus was in opposition to Avram Avinu. So when Avram Avinu, and then he gets, then he gets the message from Oig, right? That Loi was captured. Vayorgas Chanichav, and he prepares his young men and so on. So he says, so it's to a certain degree, this is also the story of Avram, because the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Avram Avinu ushered the world into the 2,000 years of Torah, right? So where was the Torah before that? The answer is that the Torah was also in the world, but it was in the Dar HaFlaga. It was in the mouth of, it was in all these languages. It was stuck in the mouths of Lavan. And Avram Avinu comes to redeem it. So Avram Avinu, hu b'chinas yamin, Avram Avinu, that's why, in this model, I mean, maybe we'll see about this soon, but even Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov also fits this model of chibuk, nishuk, and zivuk. Right, Avram. So again, what are the Avos HaKadoshim doing? The Avos HaKadoshim are redeeming Torah from Toyu, from chaos, from being. The world was created from Torah, which means Torah is everywhere, but it's stuck in chaos and it's not being allowed to actualize as a process and as an experience of Dveikus. That's the difference between before the Avos and after the Avos. Now that there's Avos. And especially by Har Sinai, that's for sure. Like the Ramban already says that Har Sinai was in order to allow us to return to the Madrega of the Avos, right? To a certain degree. So the Avos HaKadoshim, their job and they were successful is to allow the Torah to be repurposed as a state of Dveikus, which is this model. That's why Avram Avinu is called Avram Ha'Ivri. Why is he called Avram Ha'Ivri? Hu Me'Ivr Echad. Right, the whole world is on the other side of Avram Avinu. They opposed Avram Avinu. So that opposition, all the words that were said against Avram Avinu were the words of Torah that Avram Avinu then repurposed. So Avram is stage one, which is Chibuk, right? Chibuk means love and Ahava. That's Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is Ahava. Yitzchak Avinu, again, we're not up to it yet, but Yitzchak Avinu is Nishuk, it's kissing. Kitzayi Bepiv. Yitzchak Avinu is... loves Esau because Kitzai Bepivi gets fed with his mouth as an in of Nishuk over there. We'll see again, we're not up to Nishuk yet. And then Yaakov is the face of Yaakov is on the Kisei HaKavod, it's absolute oneness, right? The Yaakov above, the Yaakov below, it's all the same. You can't. Chazal says such a lashon that Karalei Kael, that Yaakov was given the name Kael, Kivyachu, right? So that's ultimate Yichud. So these were the Avos HaKadoshim, Chibuk, Nishuk, and Zivuk. But again, so he says by Avram Avinu v'yarkes chanichav that Avram Avinu prepares his young men. Sh'Avram v'b'chinas yamin, b'chinas chibuk. V'yarek, and that's why v'yarek es chanichav. V'yarek is b'chinas kav ha'yarek. V'yarek comes from yarek and yarek, which is green. Shenim shach mibino makiv eskol oilam. That's a description that we find from Chazal that whatever this means spiritually. The koich of Venus surrounds the whole world, hugs the whole world, and there's a kava yorek, a greenish, spiritually speaking, some sort of greenish tinge that embraces the whole world. Again, that's the mid of the lev, that's the mid of Teferis, that's Avram Avinu, v'yorek is chanichav. And chanichav, zebechines chasadim. And chanichav itself is a remes to the mid of chesed, which is love. Kemuva b'medrash, loshen chanichasai, Sheshmon Avram Kishmoy. Chanichasa means like a nickname, like a kinoi, right? So chanichav means, the Medrash says a Peltic thing, that everyone of Avram Avinu's chevra, they were called Avramniks. That was their name. So Vayorek is chanichav means, why they called chanichav? The people that had his nickname. So now this, Avram means chesed. So if they're called Avram, it means they're also coming from the world of Chesed. So everything about this pasuk, Vayorek, which is green, as Chanichav, people that are called by his name, which is Avram, which is Chesed, it's all about Ahav and it's all about Chesed, because this is again, who's Light? Light is also a little bit of a Lovin type, right? Lovin takes the Torah of Avram. Lovin takes inside of Lovin, inside of Light. I'm sorry, was in Shem of David HaMelech, which is Tarsh Baal Peh. In his full stature, it was in Golis in Light. So, to a certain degree, him saving Light is also rescuing Torah. I mentioned this before in years past from the Arizal, that the neshama of Rava was also found in light. That was one of the motivations of Avraham Avinu, was to rescue Rava. It says in Pasuk that when light was captured, so it says they took light, Ves Ruchushai, and all of his possessions. Who is light? Ben Achi Avram. So the Arizal points out the order is, yeah, it should say they took light, Ben Achi Avram, Ves Ruchushai. So it says they took light, Ves Ruchushai, Ben Achi Avram. So he says that's the remez. Ruchushai Ben Achi is Rosh Hatevis Rava. So Rav is Tarshbal Peh. So Tarshbal Peh was stuck in light. The word light comes from the word lat, which means to curse. Ironically, Abaya throughout the Shas, Layit Ola Abaya. Abaya had that sprach of being able, of saying like, cursed is a person that doesn't hold like this. Like he had that sprach. So light, which is lat, which is the name of Abaya, and contained in light is also Rav, it's Abaya and Rav, that's Tarshbal Peh. So Tarsh Bal Peh, which is also David HaMelech, Halacha Kemais, Hashem Imai, means Tar was learned B'dveikis with his kashras, with Chibug Nishik and Zivug by David. And the Chazal say, what does it mean Hashem was with him? Halacha Kemais B'chol Mokim, Halach was always like David. Even though he wasn't the biggest Lamdan, compared to Daig Achi Teufel, but they were Lovenix, right? So again, So light is the Bechina of Abaye and Rava, which is Tarsh Bal Peh, rooted in Davna Melech, Halacha Kamais B'chol Makim, but all of that is contained in a package of a Rasha, which is light. Someone that said, Yefshi Loi B'Avram Loi B'Elekov, I don't want Avram, I don't want his God. And he goes to Sadaim. Sadaim is all about distinction and period and gaivin and separation and everything that's the opposite of Chibuk, Nishuk, and Zivuk. That's a dime. So Dafke over there, Avram Avinu, when he rescues light, he's really rescuing Tarsh Bal Peh. He's rescuing Abaye and Rava. He's rescuing Davin HaMelech. He's rescuing and he's repurposing Torah to become Chibuk Nishuk and Zivuk, which is Ayichan, and that begins Vayarik Es Chanichav, and that's the meaning of that first stage of Chibuk, which is the heart, which is love, green Vayarik Es Chanichav, and so on. So that's what it means. Mevchinas Anichav itself, Mevchinas Esther, Yerakroikis, which is in of Esther Amalka being green. Zayis Aliyah Yesh L'Shchina Dechibuk Yemin, and that's the Aliyah that the Shchina begins to have through the right hand, the hug of the right hand, which is Avram Avinu, which is what the name of Esther Amalka is, and the beginning of that's what Purim is also. Purim is also the redemption of Tarsh Bal Peh. Purim allows us to have the second base of Migdash with the permission of Paras. It wasn't against the will of Paras. It was with the permission of Paras, right? The second base of Hamikdash means Tarsh Bal Peh. That's the era of Tarsh Bal Peh. And the fact that Paras allows it to happen, it means because Tarsh Bal Peh was in Golos, was in exile in Persia. And Paras allowing it to happen means the redemption of Tarsh Bal Peh. And the beginning of that redemption is with Chibuk, with Ahava. That's obviously, Simchas Purim is related to that. That's okay. As Hashem, we'll speak about it next week. Shkai.